This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا
for some non-NFL prayers, we'll continue.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. مَا بَعْدُ. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. If I can kindly ask the brothers to please move forward and fill in all the gaps. Jazakumullah. My brothers and sisters, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, our creator, our nourisher, our protector. And we begin by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger and final messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, as Muslims, we know that our objective in this life is to make it to Jannah safely. Our objective in this life, to put it very briefly, is to make it to Jannah safely. Now the path to Jannah goes through this dunya. The path to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for us that it goes through this dunya. And that means that we have to engage and live in this world to fulfill our needs, which are necessary, to fulfill the needs of others, and live by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, according to the teachings of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on this path to making it to Jannah. It's as simple as that. Now, because we are living in this dunya, we have to deal with the affairs of this dunya as well, that have to do with our well-being and the well-being of others, have to do with our needs and the needs of others. And as a result, there are, you know, different things we have to do in terms of work and business to earn a halal income, education, you know, health, worrying about our health, you know, worrying about housing and transportation, worrying about the safety in our communities, and so on and so forth. And as a result of that, we need to be paying attention to what is happening around us, what is happening in our community, in society, in the world, not so that we can become engrossed with it and obsessed with it and constantly thinking about it and enjoying it and living it, but rather so that we can have an understanding of what is happening, so that we can fulfill our legitimate needs, so that we can take care of our families, of our communities, and of our neighbors and others, so that we can make it safely to Jannah, inshallah. Now, as we know, yesterday, there was an election here in the province of Ontario. And I want to congratulate the winning candidates and thank everyone who came forward and made an effort, because it's not easy. And the system isn't perfect, but it does allow for people's voices to be heard and for elected officials to be accountable to their citizens, to a certain extent. Right? It's not a perfect system, I agree with you 100% if you say that, but at the very least, there is an opportunity for people to be heard, for voices to be heard, for complaints to be heard, and if somebody is really doing a bad job, people do have the opportunity of voting them out. However, my brothers and sisters, what is concerning is that the voter turnout was very low, the lowest in Ontario history. 43.5% of people voted, approximately. In most Ontario electoral ridings, which is electoral districts, over 50% of eligible voters, people who were citizens who were registered to vote, did not vote. So that means that about 40,000 to 50,000 people in each riding, including in Kanata Carleton, chose not to make their voices heard. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because if even one-third of those people, so even if one-third of those 40 or 50,000 people in Canada who chose not to vote, if they had voted for the second place or the third place candidate, and not just in Canada, all across Ontario in every single riding, almost every single riding, they would have made the second or third candidate win. But because people did not vote, as a result, their not voting was actually a vote for the winning candidate. So if you're okay with whoever won in your riding, then that's fine, that's great for you, of course, because that works for you. But if you're not, then you need to go out and make sure that you vote next time and get everyone else you know who's not voting as well to do the same. Because a lot of times we talk and we complain and we discuss on WhatsApp or on Facebook or social media, wherever you are, or over tea and coffee and, you know, biryani and couscous or whatever it is, but that doesn't affect the election. Talking doesn't do anything, right? Maybe it helps you feel good, or we clarify our views or whatever, right? Or share views, that's okay. But in terms of affecting the election, it doesn't make a difference until you actually go and you put a vote. You put an X and you put it in, right? And when we think that we can't have any change, I just want you to remember that. That if one third even of the people who did not vote yesterday voted, the second or third place candidates could have won easily. But because they didn't vote, the ones who won, won. Right? And as I said, if you're happy with that, that's fine, no problem. Right? Because I don't pick or choose candidates or suggest who to vote for. If you're okay with that, you like that, that's fine. Right? But if not, then the way to resolve this is, and for our voices to be heard, or your voice to be heard, is to actually go out and vote. So for those who did, I thank them. My brothers and sisters, it has almost been 1 year since our London family, and when we call them our London family, we're talking about the four members of our brothers and sisters living in London, Ontario, three generations of the same family, who were out for a walk in their neighborhood, normally just like as we would be on any evening when the weather is nice. They were killed by the driver of a pickup truck who was motivated by hate. So that fact that he actually ran into that family at the intersection while they were waiting and they were visible as Muslims because of their libas, because of their dress, he did that purposely because of how they were. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on them and to elevate their ranks. And we ask Allah azza wa jalla to be the guardian for the young boy who was the only one who was left behind from that family. My brothers and sisters, we know that the hate for Islam, as we refer to as Islamophobia, hate for Muslims and from Islam, has always existed. And we know that our mission in life is not to get everyone to love us. That is not our purpose in life. That is not our objective, that we make everyone like us. However, hate and Islamophobia are directly impacting our communities, our institutions, and our collective well-being. And it is having an effect on the self-esteem of Muslims, the identity of Muslims, especially young Muslims, and therefore their willingness and ability to practice their religion and to truly live as Muslims. So this is a very serious issue. Recently, there was a survey that found, survey was done across Canada, and the survey found that about 25% of Canadians don't trust Muslims. 33% are concerned with the number of Muslim immigrants entering Canada, and 27% said that hijab should be banned. Now the big question is, my brothers and sisters, is how do we go about challenging this hate and this Islamophobia in meaningful ways, right? And the key operative term here is meaningful ways, because it's one thing to, you know, have some slogans, to have some signs, to have, you know, some do some action, which is good. Alhamdulillah, but meaningfully, how can we actually have a positive impact? It's very important for us to understand that there is a spectrum. Right? Even the time of Jahiliyyah, when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message of Islam, there was a spectrum. That not everyone who is opposing is the same. So there are those who are just ignorant. They have had no exposure to Islam and Muslims except for what they have seen in the media, which was negative. Okay, or they have had some personal interaction which was negative. Or they know someone who knows someone who had some interaction and it was negative. Okay, so people who are generally just, first of all, ignorant, they don't know anything at all, and therefore they are afraid or they can't trust. And those who have had some, you know, negativity in their exposure. So ignorance, that leads to fear and mistrust. And that fear and mistrust can then lead to anger and hate, especially when there are people who are trying to capitalize on that ignorance because they have an agenda. They want to push hatred of Islam and Muslims, so they look for the people who are ignorant, who are simple, who are ignorant, who don't know any better. And they feed them misinformation and lies to convert them into people who hate Muslims and Islam and who are angry towards Muslims and Islam. So this is very important for us to understand that not everyone is the same. And of course, there is a critical role to be played by government, by leaders, by laws and legislation, and by police and law enforcement intelligence agencies. And they can do a lot. But at the end of the day, they cannot cure hate. Because hate is something which resides in the hearts and minds. Okay, so you can make all the laws that you want, you can create, you know, lobby all you want, and it's important. I'm not saying it's not important. It has a place and it has a role to play. But at the end of the day, it comes down to hearts and minds. Now, for us, it may seem like there are many Muslims in Canada. And what happens is, a lot of times we are living in bubbles. You come for Salatul Jum'ah, mashallah, you see so many people, you go for Eid, you see so many people, you go on the streets and mashallah, you see our sisters in hijab, and you think, oh mashallah, everything is good. Oh, there's so many Muslims here. Okay, but the reality is, and yes, locally there may be, maybe 10% in Kanata, you know, maybe 30% in Bayshore, and other parts of the city, and other large cities. But nationally, Muslims are only about 3% of the population, maybe 4%. Okay, and understand that we are very visible, and we are very different than most others. Okay, so you imagine your country where you came from, and if a people came, a group of people came who were different religion than the majority, they looked different, they dressed differently, and they had views which were sometimes different than the rest, or you thought that, and their names were on the top of the list when crimes were committed, how are you going to feel about them? You put yourself in the shoes of the majority. Okay? You are the majority. You imagine your own country. And some other group of people come who are not like you, and they are different in almost every way that you can see. And you think they are doing things which are not positive. How are you going to feel about them? So it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Now subhanAllah, when we look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he and a small number of Muslims in the beginning in Mecca were able to overcome the extreme hate and animosity from the mushrikun of Mecca. We take that example. And it doesn't mean that overcoming it is easy. Right? It isn't. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of courage and determination, you know, and faith, iman, yaqeen, takes time. And there is a role for political strategy. There is a role for media and for writing. I'm a media person myself. There is a role, you know, for building alliances and all of those things. But ultimately though, it's about touching people's hearts and minds in a manner that leaves a positive and lasting impression. And when we leave a positive and lasting impression, it's not a lasting and positive impression of Sikandar or of you, but rather it is intended to be a positive and lasting impression of Islam. Because every single one of us is an ambassador for our religion. Whether you like it or not, each one of us is an ambassador for Islam. So inshallah, let us discuss a few lessons, a few points from the Quran and the Sunnah that can help us in doing that, inshallah. So remember that people, as the saying goes, people don't remember what you say, they remember what you do and how it makes them feel. Very important, whether it's in this or anything else. Okay? People don't remember what you say, they remember how you make them feel, and what you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his character, which was exemplary, an example for all of humanity. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you are truly a man of outstanding character. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحًا أَخْلَاقٍ. I was sent to perfect good character. And sometimes you wonder, okay, well, the message of Islam primarily wasn't about character. It wasn't about khulq, like it's not about akhlaq, it's about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not doing shirk and tawheed and all of those things. But in fact, what it is teaching us, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perfecting, was our good character first and foremost with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How should a member of the creation of Allah, the humanity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, what should be his or her character with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How should be his or her approach and dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then of course with our families and our neighbors and our fellow believers and the rest of humanity and the rest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even animals. Right? So the perfection of character that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching covers all of the entirety of the message of Islam. Now, it's very striking that 25% of Canadians don't consider Muslims to be trustworthy, right? And what was Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam known as? As-Sadiq al-Ameen. So we've got some work to do there. We've got some work to do when our master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as being trustworthy, even by his opponents, even by the people who did not believe, even those who hated him knew that he was trustworthy. So we've got work to do. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu said that when the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina, the people rushed to meet him, and it was said that Rasulullah has come, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah has come, the Messenger of Allah has come three times. It says, I came with the people to see him, and when I saw his face clearly, I knew that his face was not the face of a liar. When he saw his blessed face, and of course he was formerly a Jewish rabbi, says, when I saw, meaning the narrator, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, so he says, when I saw the face of the blessed face of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I knew that his face was not the face of a liar. So the way we behave has an effect on our face, and that is something that can be seen by others. The first thing I heard him say when he said, Yuhannas, O people, spread salam, spread the greeting of salam, spread the words of salam, spread peace, feed others, uphold the ties of kinship, and pray during the night when people are sleeping, and you will enter Jannah with salam. Spread salam, afshu salam, at'imu ta'am, feed others, feed people, uphold the ties of kinship. Pray during the night when people are sleeping, and you will enter Jannah with salam, with peace. So my brothers and sisters, what do we learn? To spread the salam, it is to do outreach. To give salam to the one you know and you don't know. To greet the one that you know and you don't know. To spread positivity through words. Because to spread salam doesn't have to be an action apart from just words. A good peaceful message, spread that. And this hadith, these instructions are not specific only to Muslims. For Muslims within the community, outside the community, for everyone. Spread goodness, spread a message of peace, positivity through your words. So do outreach with your words and spread positivity and goodness. Number one. Feeding others, what do we learn? You care for others, especially through feeding. Again, whether they are Muslim or not. And especially in their time of need. It doesn't have to be at the time of need, but especially at the time of need. When someone is hungry and they don't have food, they're looking for a hot meal, and you give them a meal, you give them something to eat, and especially if it's nice with ihsan, it's a delicious meal that touches, that satisfies their hunger, their stomach, but also touches the hearts. The ties of kinship, be connected to those who are close to you, of course your immediate relatives, the ones you have a bond with, starting with your family. But we also learn from other teachings to be connected with the community, to be connected with your neighbors, to be connected to the people who are around you, and to have ihsan with them, and have good dealings with them, and to care for them. This is from the message of Islam. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray during the night when people are sleeping. Right? So along with all of this outreach and this taking care of people, you have to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially through prayer, but in every way. And particularly when most people are not. So what indicates is, along with all the other actions, having a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a way that maybe others are not paying attention to. Being connected to Allah azza wa jal at all times. But especially in those private moments with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do these things and be a means of peace for people and goodness towards people, towards others, and having this strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get a very coveted reward. And that is, enter Jannah with salam, with peace, without any punishment, without any trouble, inshaAllah. My brothers and sisters, these are small positive actions. But they need to be done by every single one of us. And especially together. So every masjid, every community should be doing these things, and should have people who are promoting this, and who have this on the forefront, and are encouraging people to do this. And you will see the impact, inshaAllah. Even a smile. Many people are naturally afraid. As I told you, if in your country, your place where you come from, many different people were coming, you would be feeling a little bit afraid, unsure of them maybe. Okay, we do look different. We do behave a little bit differently. Okay, which is fine, which is good, because we are different for good reason. But smile. It is sadaqah. And it removes fear. It removes any misgivings people might have. It makes them feel happy. It makes them feel good. Share nice words. Hello, good morning, good evening, thank you, goodbye. Small things. They have an impact. And even if it is not being done collectively, start from those around you. Right? So we have a better community, better society that has more love and peace and less hate and animosity, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove hatred and ignorance from the hearts and minds, wherever it may exist. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from its harmful effects. Ameen.
JazakAllah khairun, Imam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just want to extend from what Imam just spoke about our London family. This was a family like our family. We see nice weather. We take our family, we go for a walk, and we think we'll be fine. But there are people, as Imam said, there's 25% of the people in Ontario who do not trust Muslims. And one of these people gets motivated by something on the internet and does horrific things. When 9/11 happened, the trust among Muslims, about Muslims, went down deeply down. And there was a lot of things governments did for against Muslims. A lot of Muslims were caught, sent to jail, sent to different countries to get tortured. But some people of our community fought back. And alhamdulillah, today, the environment is not like that. It's much better than, say, 20 years ago. And that is because some individuals decided to do something about it. I can say we should go this and do this. I hear a lot in WhatsApp group, we should do this. And I sit and down in dinner and people, sit down and lecture and say, we should do this. And I have become allergic to the word we. Because when we say we should do this, what it means is that all of you should do something, not me. All of you, not me. But until I can change that we to I, nothing will be done. If I decided to do something, things will happen. So each one of us need to say, what can I do? Instead of saying, what should we do? So the word we needs to be replaced with word I in our conversations. Inshallah, I know the NCCM is organizing an event on Monday to remember the family. And it is very important to remember this family because they were like us. They were Muslims. And the only reason they were attacked was because they were Muslims. And if we think it's not going to happen to us, I think that's just the wishful thinking. It can happen to anybody, and we need to raise awareness within our community, with other people, with Canadians. We need to speak out to Canadians. Sorry, I need to speak out to my friends. Everybody that I meet, I need to speak about this. I need to address it when the topic comes up, and I need to take action on that. And the least we can do is all of us to show strength and to show it to the Canadian public and show it to our own community that I will go to Parliament Hill on Monday at 7 p.m. inshallah, and there is a small walk happening from Parliament Hill to the flame, the Elgin Street Confederation Square, and we go for a walk, and inshallah that shows strength, shows up in the media, shows to other Muslims and other communities and other politicians and policymakers that Muslims care about these things. Because, and politicians only look at the numbers. These are policymakers. They make policies and they make, they talk about things and they talk about it in their parties. 20 years ago, a conservative party was making laws against us, trying to come up with all these weird laws, and now they want our membership. So people who have individuals who have worked hard, their work is now paying off. And you can also do something. Your children can do something. Each one of us need to do our part. And each one of us need to show up on Monday, inshallah. Bring your families. Talk to your family today on your dinner of what happened to the family and what can you do as individuals, not as we, individuals, yourself and your family. What can you do? Can you show up on Monday? Can you sacrifice, can you sacrifice 2 hours of your time? Can you sacrifice going to a grocery store? Can you sacrifice going for your sports club or wherever you go? Can you sacrifice 2 hours of your time, inshallah, on Monday and show up and give support to Muslim communities across Canada, inshallah? JazakAllah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.